a radio program. Scotty's preparing for his suburban perspective statement.
What's it on?
I don't know, but he's in there preparing. I mean, I do know
Rick,
what it
what
is.
What did you do?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. I'm just saying he's in there. I went in there just in time to hear him say, there's no information on the internet about the State of the Union address. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, CNN is not covering the State of the Union address. And I said, okay. And he said, CNN, there's nothing there about the State of the Union address, even though they are a lib organization.
But isn't that what he's supposed to be talking about today?
And then
today?
He started pounding angrily in the keyboard. Well, we'll see. It's 503-733-2970. Well, before we do anything else, let's welcome Tim Riley to the studio in mere seconds here. We will have some headlines with Tim Riley. Then we'll do the, we should do the top five then. Then we'll have the suburban, Tim just ran in and then ran out again. Then we'll have the suburban perspective with Scotty J. I'd just like to read this, first of all, before we do anything else. Actually, no, that's a lie. I'm going to read this first before we do anything else. Porn industry may decide DVD format war. It's a dirty little secret. This is from Fox News. Scotty, this is from Fox News. It's a dirty little secret that's not at all dirty or secretive for those who follow technology trends. The porn or adults industry tends to serve as something of an oracle when it comes to predicting which technologies eventually make their way to the marketplace and which ones don't, blah, blah, blah. And so this is what everybody follows technology knows, is that there are two things that drive technological development in the computers, in the computers and tubes. One is porn and the other is video games. Every technological development that you enjoy on the internet right now, every new technology in terms of graphic, delivery systems, bandwidth, every single thing you use every day in your computer right now was originally pioneered for either video game playing or porn watching. That's just the reality. Those that I'm not saying that to be
smart. I thought porn drives technology.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I was giving it in layman's terms.
No, that's what I said. Yes, no, it's, anywho, so yeah, porn and technology are the responsible for the driving of technology, porn and video games. So those are the two things that require the pushing of the envelope. That's sort of a fact. That's only so I can read this, because they're talking about how, there's that HD, and please don't call about this, because it's not that I don't care. It is that I don't care. And I know that you all are smart and you know this stuff, but I just don't care enough to really talk about it right now. I'm only going to observe that there's an HD DVD and Blu-ray technology. And I know I'm a geek and all, but that's what I'm saying. I know that I'm a geek and blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to know all this stuff, but I don't know what Blu-ray discs are. I don't know what HD DVD does. It just doesn't really matter. I'm just going to, like everything else, I'm just going to wait.
Does it have a start and stop button?
Probably. I'm just going to wait until somebody tells me what I'm supposed to buy. That's what the Americans do. I'm just going to wait until a commercial tells me what product is going to solve my problems. I'm only reading this story just so I can get to this, which is where a guy named Gardenia, I swear to God that's his name, is talking about Blu-ray and HD technology, and he's talking about the adult industry settling on a standard. This is the longest setup for a dumb sophomoric joke. Quoting now, he says, "You have to remember that the adult industry is all about low entry. The adult industry is all about low entry," he says. "It's a low-hanging fruit. You just grab it for a few seconds." That wasn't nearly as funny as it was in my head. This morning when I was looking at it, I'm like, low entry, fruit, grab. That was really funny.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A drunk Eugene man tries to steal a train.
Okay, that's funny.
And it's true. A drunk man snuck aboard a locomotive that was pulling several cars, started pushing buttons and levers, and actually had the engine halfway started before he was confronted at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Man with some ambition.
Mm-hmm. The engineer said, apparently he was harassing the crew and refused to leave.
Excellent.
This was a little train that wouldn't. When deputies arrived, they found 22-year-old Caleb Gary nearby. He was arrested and charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle and trespassing.
Excellent. Well done, whoever you are.
So moments after reports circulated that Aisha Washington went into therapy, Grey's Anatomy creator Sandra Rhimes...
Oh, please tell me he's been fired. Please, please, please tell me he's been fired.
No, she weighed in with a statement that sounds like she's hedging her bets on him. She says, quote, this will make you even... etc. We applaud and encourage Isaiah's realization that he needs help and subsequent choice to seek immediate treatment.
And by help, I mean a beating.
The only applause he should get when he gets his ass booted out of there.
Seriously.
Because anyone in any other business who would use such a language would be fired.
Well, okay, I mean, I know. I mean, okay. All right. Well, you know they're going to write his ass
off.
His
fate will be determined by ratings, not moral outrage, namely whether his presence hurts or helps the show.
Well, because
don't watch it.
That's what I'm saying. Well, because I quit watching Grey's Anatomy after the first season just because it's not my deal. But it would be difficult. And look, I'm a guy that can overlook all kinds of vile behavior on the part of musicians and, you know, rock stars and whatever. But I mean, the response to him using that slur is just so disproportionate to the response of anything he's ever done on that program that for them, for the creators of that show, it is now a net loss for them. The cost benefit detriment ratio is now solidly against him. So yeah, F that guy and boot him right off there. All right.
So there.
All right. In his face. All right. Should we do the top five?
Oh, yes, yes. Let's
do it. Here's the top five for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio
five,
program.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley with today's Top 5.
You know, it's hard to believe any of the people we grew up in are now in their 50s and 60s, if not older.
It's weird. I mean,
your world is vanishing.
Who are you speaking to?
Oh, I'm speaking to myself.
Okay.
But for the most part, I do speak to you.
Well, stop it.
Right, I will.
And stop that laughing. No, my world is...
Yes?
Nothing.
There was your world.
Turn off the music for a second. Yes, Tim?
Yes?
Something you're holding in?
Oh, no, something is just tickling my fancy, I suppose.
Should we continue? Go ahead.
All right. So I was just clearing my throat. Not that I was laughing. And this week, one of rock and roll's premier golden throats turns a staggering 54. But still manages to conjure up musical glory behind the microphone. Part snarl, part sweetness, Robin Zander of Cheap Trick has given life to some of rock and roll's all-time enduring anthems. So let's celebrate his life, because he doesn't have many days left. The way this
sounds. It's a terrible thing to say.
If I'm celebrating somebody's life, they're either dead or almost there.
They're dead or somebody's about to yank the plug.
Here are the top five Cheap Trick songs that are not Surrender. With honorable mention going to Voices.
There's like a Boston feel to this. Right there.
How Boston is
more
that?
Than a feeling.
Totally. It's completely Boston.
And it's Boston, like all Cheap Trick, they are great synthesizers of music, meaning they synthesize, they put together various elements. Because the beginning of the song is all Beatles. This is kind of Beatly too.
I love this song.
I saw them sing this about a year ago. Still fantastic. I think they put it in a lower key, but still great. These are the top five Cheap Trick songs that are not Surrender.
At number five, He's a Whore.
Sorry. This is a great song, too. This song managed to be so dirty sounding and so tough and so sweet at the same time with the melody. That. Eat your heart out, Duck Spiker.
Have you seen her face? She's got a face that could stop the clock. And with that face, I too won't stop. To look her
a great melody. And this is a great song, too, because it's all about a woman that is so ugly he can't look at her face, but she's got money, and therefore, blah, 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 he's a whore. That line about her teeth are green, but shows her money. A nasty sounding song. Top five cheap drug songs that are not Surrender.
At number four, If You Want My Love.
Well, it's the very definition of just airy pop here. Pointed out, there's a whole pre-chorus here that is full-on stolen from While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Coming up here in just a second. I mean, absolutely photocopied from the Beatles.
I pointed that out?
Yeah, long time ago we played this song once. Right here. This While My Guitar Gently Weeps moment here.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Great voice, though. And they never sucked. They never sucked. Not once, except for that Flame song. And everybody's allowed one. Everybody's allowed one bad song. I could just play this all day. Here's Tim Riley with the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender.
At number three, The Dream Police.
What a weird song this is. And in fact, I'm going to stop this here. I'm going to stop this song here. I'm actually going to...
Oh, come.
Because I'm going to play it out of this other player so I can skip ahead for a minute. Because I want to get to these... I can't skip ahead on the Card-O-Matic. It's got a great name, but you can't skip ahead on it. It's just such a bizarre song. I don't even know... I don't know if Rick Nielsen is just crazy or if he was just high or... is this the big build right here? This build that just goes on forever, but it's just fantastic. Is it this? Right here. Especially for a pop song.
And it just goes like the electric orchestra.
Fantastic. It's so good, it wears me out. All right, there you go. That's we're doing the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender.
And number two is Hello There.
Let's just acknowledge this song for a second. First of all, I'm amazed that no one had ever done a song like this, which is about opening a show, and I think it opens the record too. And it's Are You Ready to Rock? And it's got the best opening. One of those little. I'm a big fan of incidental moments on records, which is a sound or a noise that's not part of the actual song. It's like studio noise, or like that beginning of Sweet Child of Mine, especially in the video where you hear the guy plugging in the guitar, or like a little pick scraping, or just like an ancillary noise. Sometimes it's even a mistake that you hear it and it makes the song. And with this, it's that, it's this little da-da-da-da thing that happens at the beginning. You'll hear it. And then, of course, the song itself is the best thing ever. It's right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. Should have to start with this. It should be a law. Counting down the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender. Tim Riley.
At number one, I Want You to Meet Me.
And of course, the live version, which is definitive. Nothing I can possibly add to this. Nothing I can add to the song itself. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. In a few seconds, Tim Riley joins us in the Ministry of Truth. And then we have Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. Oh, and I haven't told the... talked about Taylor Swift yet. So Taylor Swift, I don't think we have time to play this song. Maybe we can do that tomorrow after the whole thing happens. So Taylor Swift is a rising young country act. She has a song called Tim McGraw, which is really good, actually. It's a really, really great song. And I'll go on and on about that tomorrow. I won't do that today.
Does Tim McGraw have a record about her as well?
No, but, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. We don't have time to play it, but I will say this. It's a great song. It's so great. And when I say it's so great, it's great on a... There's that Malcolm McLaren crass part of me that appreciates the fact that it's a brilliant idea for a single. And then musically and melodically, it's also a very beautiful song. And she wrote it herself, which gets big points for me, because so few people in country music write their own stuff. They usually just go to these, you know, song farms and they just buy them. But I...
Well, we can probably play it into a break.
Well, so
why don't we do that? So,
do that
so she's not in the building, and then, like, she thinks the other station's making fun of her.
Well, do you want to do that? Because that would never happen. Do you want to,
Do you want to wait till she's in the bathroom?
Yeah. Well, do you want to... how should we do this? We've got Tim here. We're going to do the Tim McGraw. We're going to do the Taylor Swift thing. Then we'll break. We'll do Scotty. Okay, well, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Now,
Democrats are mourning the announcement by John Kerry that he will not run for president again.
That's not really terrible.
Well, all except for one, we did find someone who was mourning.
Was he drunk?
No, it's Ted Kennedy. No. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you're correct.
Bam! See, that's what I'm talking about right there. I don't even care if you faked that. That was brilliant.
It was gold, wasn't
yes.
it? He says, Kerry is a magnificent man.
Eloquence, this passion, this insight, this knowledge, history, awareness of public events is something that characterizes the career of John Kerry.
Is that multiple choice?
Ted Kennedy's face has become huge and square as he has
bigger than Jerry Lewis and John Travolta.
It's true.
Combined.
But it's like a big square pumpkin on top of his head. You know what I mean? Just a huge block of spongy.
It's like a big map to the surface, which you could have used some time ago.
Totally.
Kennedy says that Kerry has one goal.
Now John has decided to continue to
God and Ron.
Devote his passion, his interests, his energies towards bringing our troops home from Iraq safely.
All right.
As opposed to not safely.
Okay. It's just so hard for me to get excited about anything involving John Kerry. I mean, okay, he's not running. I guess that denies us some sort of humor. Mm-hmm. But it's impossible for me to be excited about that at all. It really is just nothing. So, all right.
Well, the day after the President's State of the Union address, Tony Snow held his first question and answer session for reporters. And what was the main topic? Iraq? No, the economy.
If you take a look at what has happened to the economy and the obstacles we have overcome in the last 5 years,
we're losing a war.
The performance of this economy is absolutely remarkable, and you're not going to help it by raising taxes.
All right. Well, whatever.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony Snow. Thank you. Thank you, Tony Snow. All right. Well, let's talk about Taylor Swift for a second, shall we? So
I think it's long overdue.
So if not now, then when? If not me, who? Sarah Dillon's eating yogurt with a fork. How sad is, or with a knife? How sad is that you have to eat your yogurt with a knife because they've thrown away all the other utensils and cups?
It's the only utensil.
No, they don't order spoons.
You know, soon we'll be in another building where they have spoons.
Do they have spoons?
Well, I think the person who runs the spoon desk in New York is on vacation or their job is eliminated and they're not rehiring the spoon orderer.
Now we're moving to our new studios. We have 2 days left. We have tomorrow and Friday left in the studio.
There will be spoons.
Okay, Rick Emerson office, Rick Emerson studios. But here's the thing, and I don't mean to knock over the people at the other building where we're going to be soon. Let's just make friends in advance, shall we? The thing about
it is, maybe you should keep your mouth shut.
I'm just saying, the coffee here better than the coffee there.
That is true.
And they know this.
Are we going to get those big pots that we have here?
No.
No.
Because we can't suffice on
can't
those
nice
little
things.
Teeny.
Well, and the coffee's just not as good.
It's really watery. And
it's just, and that's known, by the way, because many people who work in the new studios, Rick Emerson Studios East, have said, because they know that we are coffee fans on this program, they've actually said, look, when you come over here, can we start getting that good coffee? Because here, as much as we sort of poke fun, I will tell you this. Right here, we have fantastic coffee at this building. I will never knock the coffee that we have here at CBS Radio Portland here at the Coin Tower. Because you press the button, it's like an In-N-Out burger thing. You press the button and the coffee, the beans are whole.
Well, it's a Kitty Couric brew.
Yeah, they are ground right in front of you.
You're right.
And then they go from being whole beans to being coffee in like 4 minutes. I mean, it's fantastic. And then over there, they got the old
McDonald's.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, let's talk about Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift is this rising young country star who has this song called Tim McGraw. And the last time she was here, which is about 6 weeks ago, Sarah and I, as I've noticed, as I've observed in the past, Sarah and I have this bathroom behavior because all of the other bathrooms are closed. And the bathrooms, by the way, were supposed to be done January 1st. Which was like a month ago. The bathrooms are supposed to be done. They haven't even started building the structure for the bathroom. The bathrooms are not going to be done. I mean, we're gone. Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me because we're going to be gone. But 2 months from now, the people who work here are still not going to have any place to use the bathroom. They're going to have to go to like the 50th floor, which requires using two elevators. You have to change elevators if you want to find an open bathroom in this building. It just doesn't make any sense. You have to take an elevator to one floor, get out, walk down the hall, take another elevator, and because it's like a 900-story building, the whole thing takes like an hour. I mean, it's just, anyway. So, but there's this artist bathroom over here that they use for the talent, the people on the air, and so forth. And so Sarah and I have just grown so used to it, like if it's locked, who must be in there? Well, it's Sarah. And if Sarah's outside and the bathroom's locked, well, it must be Rick.
And so, because we have this, I mean, because the relationship between Sarah and I is effectively that of 14-year-old kids who are hyper-caffeinated all the time. We, you know, some sort of, you know, over-sugared sibling-like relationship. Every time one of us is in the bathroom, the other one just stands outside, jiggles the handle to try to distract the person inside from being able to complete their business, and kicks the door mercilessly while shouting profanity. And so that works really well, except when it's not Sarah in the bathroom. I'm outside doing all this, and it's a 16-year-old girl named Taylor Swift, who's here to be interviewed by Couple Radio, who, she's been told, will treat her with dignity and respect. And instead, she's in there, it's a small bathroom, she's on the other side of a very thin door, and she's probably sitting on the toilet watching that, I don't mean to be blue, but seriously, sitting on the toilet watching the door handle jiggle. She's only 3 feet away from me outside, and my voice bellowing out there, "Open up! I know you're in there! Wham! Wham!" She thinks I'm some guy who's gotten past the front desk and broken through security, and I'm going to take her home and make her into a Taylor Swift pillow. It's all very awkward. It's made more awkward by this fact. Taylor Swift will be back tomorrow. I found out she will be back, and she's going to be in a Couple studio, wait for it, all day. She's going to be the Couple studio, which, you hear this, son? That's a window that we share with the Couple studio. Taylor Swift is going to be in the Couple studio all day long today, within eyesight of us. How else can we make this awkward? We'll make it more awkward by saying this, that, God bless him, John, the program director for Couple, I swear to God this is true, has asked me to come in tomorrow morning on the Couple morning show and tell the Taylor Swift story while she is there, sitting like 4 feet away from me.
Awesome. Oh, come on. At least you'll be justified in her eyes.
No, but you know what it is.
You might be asked to perform that at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes. Can you tell that one story about the...
You're the kooky AM jock who doesn't have control over his limb.
You know why he's doing it, though. Here's totally why he's doing it. Because in the back of his program director mind, and again, I don't say this with any rancor. I know what he's doing. He's just thinking to himself, we want to have good relations with these artists. She may, in the back of her head, think that someone from Couple was stalking her and attempting to kill her. And so he wants to have me come on the show and put the blame squarely on myself so that in no way is she carrying around this misperception that someone from Couple was attempting to break down the door while she was urinating. So I have to go. I don't say I have to. I agreed to. I will be going on the Couple morning show tomorrow.
And begging for forgiveness.
I will be sitting like a foot away from Taylor Swift and going, Chris,
you remember that dirty old man?
Seriously.
Who was banging and yelling while you were trying to relieve yourself? Using a little dignity? Well, your people didn't think you were important enough to guard your bathroom door.
I'm going to be all like Chris Farley style. Like, do you remember that time you were using the bathroom and somebody was like shouting profanity at the door? And that was me. It's awesome. You know, I'm totally going to be in, like, full-on...
I wonder if she expressed concern about coming back to the Couple studios.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There must be some reason.
We should get him on and ask him.
Yeah, that won't be awkward.
Why not? He wants to put you on the air. We deserve to know.
Where is he? I don't even know if he's here right now.
Let's, maybe Scotty J can go grab him.
We should play the song, though. Can we go into a break with the song?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
We can take an early break.
All right. We got to do the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J anyway. Now, I'm going to talk over this a little bit because I want to tell you why this is a great song. This song is called...
It was written in the bathroom.
It's called Tim McGraw.
Please let me have the bathroom.
By this girl named Taylor Swift. That's your follow-up. I was in a bathroom stall. You were pounding on the wall. Thought you were gonna kill me dead. But it's the greatest idea for a song.
Why is
it? It is a song...
I've never heard this. I don't...
It's a song, and again... It may not be your taste, but appreciate it from a pop point of view, as a pop song.
Oh, so she's a pop artist.
Well, that's kind of
a crossover artist.
Yes.
Like a Dixie chick.
And so this song is to a boyfriend that she is no longer with.
She's only 14.
Just go with it. You've got to suspend your disbelief. The magic of Taylor Swift.
All right, let's see the story.
Just like how Scotty suspends his disbelief by thinking that she's not 16. And it's all the things I love packaged into one. It is like the story of like coming of age. It's the story of coming of age. It's like lost for, you know, not lost, but I mean the first love that you had that you remember back to your teenage years when you had the first love with somebody. It's referencing a favorite song. It's all of that. So it is a song from her or from whoever the character to someone she dated when she was a teenager, referencing their favorite.
Now that she's 16.
Referencing their favorite song, which was by Tim McGraw. So go ahead if you want to play this. And the brilliance of this is,
yes.
You know, it's only a matter of time before Tim McGraw joins her on stage to sing it at some point, and everyone will cry
and ask her to marry him.
Totally. So here's the part where she references Tim McGraw. Perfect. I mean, it's perfect. It's just... And see, and here's like where she's broken up with him. She's broken up with him, and she's broken up with him, and now she's all depressed and whatnot.
No, well.
I'm trying to talk about a thing of beauty here, Tim. I don't need your cynicism. See, she was gonna write him a letter. It's like that episode of The Wonder Years where he meets that girl. She writes him a letter saying we're gonna be together, and then he never hears from her again.
Maybe she was sitting in there writing on the letter when you were banging on the door.
He interrupted the letter. All right, there you go. So, anyway, so that's Taylor Swift. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Scotty J and the Suburban Perspective. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there.
When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song. When you turn KUPL on.
How great is that, by the way? And she does personalized shout-outs. When you think happiness. All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Scotty J is up next. Think of my head on your ship. And my own faded Fantastic. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I don't care if Lisa Goddard found it funny or not. That's hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. It was the final segment of our whatever. Anyway, so there's that Taylor Swift song, Tim McGraw, which I don't mean to cause bad luck. I'm just saying that's one of those songs you write, and then you almost regret it because that song is such a huge hit. It's like the challenge is going to be for her to get out from underneath the shadow of... you don't want to be achy, breaky hearted. You know what I mean? Tomorrow morning, I will be, but I'll be over on the couple morning show, sitting next to her. Now, of course, I don't.
No, have you been told anything that you can't say to her?
Well, presumably, I.
Any observations that you're not allowed to point out?
With the fact that she doesn't look 16? Yeah. No, of course, I do not think of her in that way because she is a 16-year-old and therefore...
And a performer.
And a performer, so I can appreciate a certain aesthetic appeal that she may have. But, of course, I do not think of her in any sort of untoward or Puritan way. That would be wrong. Anyway, so, yeah, they want me to tell the bathroom story where I'm like, get out of here, woman, you know, which was probably.
I know you're
going
to make me sound crazy because you're like, well, my producer, yes. Sarah, we like to bang on the door as each other using the bathroom.
Yes, I am, Sarah.
Yes, I am. It's time again. Oh, for the love of... That's instant karma. Let me... Oh, damn it. It's time again. Scotty J to the studio, please. Paging Scotty J to the Rick Emerson studio. Hello, sir.
Hello?
Scotty J, how is your day going?
Scotty J.
Day's going great, and to all of you out there of which or whom I make sick, I wish you all a
speedy... Would you like to take another run at that sentence?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Let's leave it, but I wish you a speedy recovery.
Uh-huh. Hey, were you able to...
Very nice of you, Scotty.
Are you still having that trouble of none of the news organizations mentioning the State of the Union?
The trouble where I can't sleep at night?
No.
Because this nation is going to hell in a handbasket?
No.
No, I found what I was looking
for. You're claiming CNN, quote, wasn't covering the State of the Union address.
Right, I found what I was looking for.
Because you were surprised by that because CNN was what kind of network?
It's a little bit lib-oriented.
What are you basing that on?
I'm basing it on the news that they typically report on.
Such as?
President Bush.
So it's liberal to report on President Bush.
Now, the way that they report on President Bush
such as?
Is a liberal slant.
For example?
All the wrongdoings. How many people out there, or how many places can you go to and get news on the good things that he does? Or does he just absolutely do nothing good? And if that's the case, you know, whatever.
If that's the case, then whatever.
Yeah, I don't agree.
What's the case of this?
Vice President Dick, this just handed to me. Vice President Dick Cheney on Wednesday dismissed as hogwash.
Yeah.
The suggestion.
I saw that.
The suggestion that blunders may have hurt the administration's credibility on Iraq. Do you believe that we have made blunders in Iraq?
With any war, we make a blunder or two.
So,
yeah, you know.
Do you believe that George Bush's credibility on Iraq is at an all-time high?
Yes. I'm just going to say that just to go against you.
So, Scotty, today for the Suburban Perspective, we're going to talk about Sarah's date tonight.
Excellent.
No!
So, good. We finally can talk about something that doesn't infuriate the public.
Oh, no. We'll,
my dinner.
We'll return to
my dinner.
We'll return to the other subjects tomorrow. So, Sarah tonight is going on a dinner date with a man who's been a friend of hers for some time. Nothing tremendously serious, but wine will be served in their cloth napkins. So... My question to you is, Scotty J, as a man and a man of the suburbs, what is your male perspective on Sarah's dinner date?
Enter Tom Likas' voice. Go.
Don't do it in Tom Likas'
voice. Okay, my first perspective is...
The content.
Could it possibly become a champagne date?
What does that mean?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, we don't.
New Year's Eve?
What do you mean?
Where you, you know, get out of the beer bottles and wine and you up to champagne.
So
you're having a good time, right?
So are you asking, could he change alcohol?
Sure.
I'm sure they might have champagne there.
I don't understand the question.
I'm just wondering.
Why would he get champagne?
You guys were talking about what kind of date is this? This is a beer date or a wine date? And my question,
like wine or cocktail.
My question from earlier was, that came to mind, could this possibly escalate into a champagne date?
What is a champagne date?
Where you hit the next level.
What is the next level?
Maybe where you hover a little more heavily around third base.
Where you hover.
What base is third again?
I don't know, Scotty. What's third
base?
Touchy
feely, I think. Not sure exactly. Been out of that running for a number of years.
Well, that's sad. Are you saying that you no longer have a third base? Is that a
no,
surgical?
I don't.
Was
the
it,
pillow balls that more
was
and more.
It removed surgically or
bases are more up for dating. Not for marriages.
You just have home
runs. Like, hey, yeah, I've been married 25 years. I hit third base last night, dude. What do you think about that?
What is
no, doesn't
that,
work.
What is third base?
I think it's more touchy-feely.
I know, but...
What's a home run?
So if I were to massage Sarah's toes, that is third base.
You know, you'd have to move up a little higher. Past the waist, of course. Above the waist, let's put it that
her
way.
Her navel. If I were to massage Sarah's navel.
That would be...
So let me understand this. So you believe that the touching... how do I put this? It would be very delicate. You believe that the touching of a delicate area with the hand, that's third base.
Yeah.
So then...
You're the one who brought this up earlier, so why are you twisting this into my perspective?
First of all,
I'm not twisting anything. I am attempting to find out what your... I have the rest of the show to my perspective. This show, whole show is Rick Emerson's perspective. We are now asking the suburban perspective. I am the urban or city perspective, Scotty. My question is, if the touching with the hand of a sensitive area, a swimsuit area...
This has nothing to do with the date.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about the date.
Scotty believes it does, because Scotty wants to know if this could turn into a champagne date, which he defines as third base.
So in order to get to third base, you have to be drinking champagne?
My question to you is, Scotty, if that is third base, then what is... the act that Monica Lewinsky engaged in. What base is that?
That is borderline home run.
So it's...
But it's a third? Is it like a runner stuck between third?
Yeah, like she's going to get... You know, she did. She got nailed with the ball.
Oh, man.
That sounded bad. You better get rid of that.
No, you meant tagged.
Yes.
Between third and home base, nailed
she's
with
out.
The ball.
She's out.
Tagged by a team.
Tagged by a team.
And so is Clinton, by the way. He's not president anymore, in case anybody didn't notice.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, so this man has asked Sarah out for a dinner date. What is your advice to him, man to man?
Well, you know, I am a graduate of Lycus 101.
Go ahead.
He is a father in some respects. And if he's going to spend more than 40, I would strongly, you know... against that.
So you don't believe Sarah Dillon is worth $40?
No, it's a general rule.
That's kind of mean,
Scotty. It's a general rule for all females.
So, how much money do you believe Sarah's worth for dinner? Not theoretically. I mean, speaking specifically, you believe Sarah is worth $40 or less, but not more than that.
Oh, on a date situation, if he's trying to date her... 40 or less.
All right.
So but as a friend, hey, she's worth, you know, whatever.
So you think that Sarah's worth... So you believe that Sarah's actually worth less if you're trying to have an intimate relationship.
Right.
So actually, the more intimate Sarah wants to be, the less she's worth to you.
Pretty much.
He is a Lycus 101 follower.
No, I heard her outline her date, and if I were that guy listening to the radio, I'd be a little bit scared on how much I spent if I had some certain objectives in mind for the night.
Why is that?
I don't think they're objective.
Why is that?
Why is that, Scotty?
Because it sounds to me like if he has certain objectives...
What objectives are those?
Objectives that might be... of some kind of touchy-feely nature.
You keep saying touchy-feely. That's a term I equate with therapy or some kind of a children's book where everybody hugs at the end and learns a lesson.
Yeah, that reminds
me. You mean
the Michael Jackson?
Are you referring to
touchy-feely?
Referring
children's
to biblical
book.
Relations, Scotty?
Yes. All yes, right. Biblical relations.
So when you say champagne date, is it champagne because they've woken up together the next morning at the hotel?
Sure.
Okay. Just wanted to crack...
Kiss and bliss in my 9-foot by 9-foot bedroom.
drinking mimosas in the tin shack.
Are the walls padded?
Did you... Okay.
No, I didn't say
seriously,
that.
Who
What's
are
wrong
you?
With, why do you let him speak?
Let's see. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective. Hello.
Oh, dear God. Please just shoot him. I'd rather listen to Jolie. Please.
No, sir,
for the love of our sweet and fluffy Lord, kill him.
There's no need to call for the death of Scotty, sir. That seems a little over the line.
Well, it may be, but maybe for my sanity.
All right.
I don't know. Well, you're the one that wants to throw spider monkeys at people, so, you know, figure it out.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
I wanted to just summarize what I'm hearing is Scotty. When Scotty heard that Sarah was having a date,
yes.
Apparently he envisioned a gentleman with performing various intimate actions with her, which he calls certain objections, upon completion of which the fellow pops a bottle of champagne and congratulations, it's celebration time.
Is that what you meant, Scotty?
Sure. That's a great analogy.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, sorry.
I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks, gang.
All right, there you go. All right. Sorry to confirm your horrifying suspicions. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Listen, I don't think it's about Sarah in particular, but most women
They know when you take them out whether they're going to sleep with you, usually. And I can guarantee you right now that this is number one objective.
I'm sorry. And I know it sounds like I'm being a jerk, but we really can't hear you. Your phone is really cutting out. I'm not saying that to be my wacky self. It's just a call back. We don't have time today, but all right. Thank you. See if we have time for one more quickly. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hey, Rick?
Yes.
Sarah, who's paying for it? Is he going to pay for it, or is he going Dutch?
I don't know. I'll offer to pay, but I think he said that he wanted to buy me dinner.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Final thoughts, Scotty J. Advice to Sarah?
You can catch a dinner at McDonald's and a movie for under $20.
Not a movie.
Where did you take Mrs. J on your first date?
To a karaoke bar.
What did you think?
You mean you met her at the karaoke bar?
Pretty much.
Did you? How long have you been married?
Coming up on 13 years next month.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that karaoke was happening 13 years ago.
Huh.
I guess you were in the know, though.
It was happening probably another 5 years prior to that.
You were. See, I didn't really know. You were into that much, but long before it hit the mainstream, Scotty.
Right.
You were aware of the
I wanted to open up my own karaoke business back then, but couldn't afford it because each karaoke player was $4,000, and the discs were like $1,000 a disc.
You were down with the karaoke underground before I was even aware of it. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Hey, you're welcome.
Scotty J, ladies
Thanks,
and gentlemen.
Scotty.
The Suburban Perspective. Fantastic. Let's welcome now to the...
This is the person in your neighborhood.
Rick Emerson Radio Program Mailman Chris. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
I'll get to this real quick. No Jim Roop.
Oh, yeah, that's my fault. And I made that call, too. I didn't think like we had enough time.
Other than that, you got to everything.
All right. Val, look at me. So I'm at one.
You're at one.
That's not bad at all. I'll take
three
one.
3 days, that is fantastic.
No, it's true. It's true. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at you. I'm just email. Are you sure that Scotty needs to keep on living, says this email? Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that action. All right,
Absolutely.
Brother.
Hey, what was your pirate name last night?
Captain Ned Ryerson.
Captain Ned Ryerson, okay.
Yeah, a little Groundhog Day reference there.
Needle Nose Ned.
Ned the Head. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. I sure as heck fire remember you. All right. And so forth. There you go. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who joined us today. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we have another top five and probably Jim Roop at some point. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley, Suburban Perspective, and PA Scotty J. And manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards grin. Thank you for listening. See you all tomorrow. Bye.